You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
This is Women to Watch.
I don't think you can truly change for the better in a lasting, meaningful way unless it is driven by self-acceptance.
Women to Watch, sharing the real stories of the most accomplished women in the world.
To rise above all of the noise and fulfill every last one of your dreams.
Be inspired by women from across the globe.
True philanthropy comes from living from the heart of yourself and giving what you have been given.
Who are encouraging more women to pursue their dreams.
What I know to be true is that women were always meant to lead. And by shining a light on those doing it well today, my hope is that more women will find their own voice.
Now, here's the owner, founder, and host of Women to Watch, Sue Rocco.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. I'm Sue Rocco, and it's so good to be here with all of you. Before we get started, and I welcome our guests this evening, just a brief reminder to stay with us during our commercial breaks to catch the latest news and information from our Watch team of on-air contributors. We continue to be so very grateful for their support, these corporate partners, and the women who keep us up to date on what's happening in their companies and their industries. As we continue to expand into new markets, which is very exciting, we are always looking for additional corporate partners. So if you're interested in being a part of the show, feel free to email our associate producer, Taylor, at womentowatch.net. And that's women, the number two, watch.net, N-E-T. And be sure to download the podcast each and every week to never miss a show, and sign up for our newsletter as well, where we have who's coming up and any events that are going to be taking place. So now I'm very honored and excited to welcome to the show Gene Vidoni, who is president and CEO of Penn Community Bank, who happens to be one of our brand new sponsors and is going to be leading a financial segment for us. So I'm very thrilled to welcome Gene Vidoni to the show.
Thank you. So happy
Thanks,
to be here.
Gene. It's great to be here. And I'm very excited to share more of your life story with our listeners so they can get to know you and, you know, kind of prepare for the segments that are going to be taking place. First of all, I thought wondered you could talk a little bit about the community you grew up in Allentown to give our listeners a sense of your background.
Certainly. I actually was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and my father moved our family when I was five, so I don't really remember much of Cleveland. But I grew up on the west side of Allentown and, you know, kind of still considered a suburb of Philadelphia. And it was an interesting community, and I ended up staying there through college at Muhlenberg College. I never went away to college, and I worked my way through school. So I worked for an advertising agency, also in Allentown. So my entire, you know, education and where I started my career all were in Allentown.
Tell me, why did you decide to stay close to home for school?
Well, I kind of had a zigzaggy, I would call it, high school education, in that I was much more social than studious. And yeah, so
I can relate to that.
Yes, yes. And so I was very much interested in being out in the real world and navigating. So after going to college only 1 year, I decided to get a job full time. And that's really, they paid for my tuition back then and most of my books, which was kind of incredible. And so there I did, you know, I got connected very early on to a pretty exciting career in advertising while I was going to school. And that kept me local.
So I know that you went to St. Joe's University and got your MBA. Tell me what you were thinking at that time, what your aspirations were and your plans for what you would do career-wise.
Sure. So I started my MBA before I had twin sons in 1987, and I did not finish that MBA until 2003. So if you stop and think about that, that was really a stop and start along the way. The other interesting fact is I never set foot on St. Joe's campus. And that's because Ursinus College, where I lived at the time in Reading, in Berks County, actually had St. Joe's faculty come on site there for the entire program. So again, wow. I did something a little bit non-traditionally. It was part-time. I tell everyone I remember sitting at the kitchen table with my young teen sons all doing homework together by the time I finished that MBA. And it was really part of my career in banking that was ongoing and continuous, that I really felt the desire and interest in getting that degree to be helpful, you know, along the way with my career.
So going to school and having twin sons at home is a feat. And I don't want to ask how, you know, your time management was, but I would love to know what kind of gave you the confidence that you could do that while still being, you know, a mom with twin boys.
Yes. I've been asked that question before. I've thought about it a lot. I would have to answer, I think it was probably my father who very early on was encouraging to me to be able to do whatever I wanted to do with my life, that gave me that confidence. And I'll tell you that as I became a mother, I still saw myself as an individual, as a person, as a woman with aspirations, with a desire to achieve. And that came first. And so when I had the twins, I never saw myself as sacrificing. As you know, many women do feel the need to do that. I didn't have that dimension. And you'd have to ask my sons, but I think that they would tell you that they turned out okay. And I'm you know,
sure.
they saw me as a person from the start. And then I managed from there.
Yeah. I mean, your job, Jean, is a big job. You know, the CEO and president of a bank.
Yes.
You know, we talk a lot on the show about examples that women offer from having the opportunity to lead across industries and companies. And what do you think you're teaching your boys, especially about women and the roles that they can and should be playing in society?
Yes. So first and foremost, right, not taking that back seat to say I defer, right? I defer my life. I defer my opinion, and really being present in the room with my own personality. And I would say that they know me very much as a human being. And then I would say my own journey, my personal journey as far as, you know, introspection, personal growth has been incredibly important. I come from less than ideal circumstances. However, I believe that there's no human being on earth that has ideal circumstances. So, but, you know, having the courage to navigate that and along the way has made me a better leader.
Can you talk about that a little bit, Jean, when you say the circumstances that you came from were not ideal?
Oh, so my mother had severe mental illness untreated. So I was in the midst of that while having a very strong and loving father, thank goodness. But right then and there, you can imagine that dealt me a hand that was a little bit different than maybe some other families.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very difficult thing to deal with as a young person. Is it something that lasting effect, the ability to kind of overcome probably the anxiety and fear you had when you were young, is that something you've been able to conquer as an adult?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's taken, you know, many years, a lot of personal growth work. However, at the same time, I think it gave me the strength right off the bat, right? So from a very early age, I really had to navigate. First of all, I had to perceive energy in the room, right? From a person who may not be altogether there all the time. I had to become probably an adult sooner than later. Mm-hmm. And that was more attractive to me than trying to figure out what was going on at home. And then, of course, the woman to woman, because when you're not attached to your mother, that is a pretty, it's a long road. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's given me a lot of strength and the ability still to connect with so many women today, which has been my substitute, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. We're going to go into our first break. When we come back, we'll pick up on that. Stay with us for our watch team, and we'll be back with Jean Fidoni, the president and CEO of Penn Community Bank.
Now, the Women to Watch, Health Watch.
For Health Watch, I'm Dr. Marianne Ritchie. In recent weeks, we discussed obesity and learned it can increase risk for over 200 other diseases, among them diabetes. This morning on Your Radio Doctor, we spoke with Dr. Marie McDonald, nationally recognized endocrinologist from Harvard Medical School, chief of diabetes section at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Your body uses sugar for fuel, and insulin is the hormone that moves sugar into the cell. Diabetes comes in a few forms. Type 1 diabetes, the body produces little or no insulin. Type 2 diabetes, your body doesn't produce enough insulin and the cells respond poorly to insulin and take in less sugar. Type 2 used to be known as adult onset diabetes, but both type 1 and type 2 can begin during childhood or adulthood. Type 2 is more common in older adults, but the increase in numbers of children with obesity has led to more cases of type 2 in younger people. This chronic condition results in too much sugar circulating in the bloodstream. Most complications come from damage to blood vessels. Not clearly understood, but seems high sugars and fats cause a chemical reaction that leads to inflammation. Damage to large vessels causes stroke, high blood pressure, heart attack, even amputation. Damage to small vessels is the hallmark of diabetes. Small vessels supply your eyes, kidneys, nerves. So damage here leads to blindness, kidney disease, and loss of sensation in your feet. There's no cure for type 2 diabetes, but losing weight, eating well, and exercise can help manage the disease. If diet and exercise aren't enough, you may also need diabetes meds or insulin. These patients can usually follow with the primary care physician unless complications require a diabetes specialist. With type 1, patients need insulin. Coordinate meals and activity with the right dose of insulin and frequent monitoring of blood sugar levels. Best to follow with an endocrinologist, a diabetes specialist. Hear the entire show on YourRadioDoctor.com. Next week, learn about the blood test, hemoglobin A1C, and the value of exercise. So divas, cut out that sugar. You're already sweet enough.
This is Women to Watch with Sue Rocco, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined this evening by Jean Fidoni. Jean happens to be local to the Philadelphia area, and she's the president and CEO of Penn Community Bank, which is one of our sponsors. We're very grateful. And Jean, I wanted to, before the break, you shared very openly about growing up with a mom who suffered from mental illness. And I'm, the curiosity in me trying to connect those dots, as I always do, has me wondering what you think that experience, or I shouldn't say what, how that shaped you as a professional woman leading a team of over 350 people.
Thanks. Yeah. So I think one of the most interesting things, as I've come across others who have dealt with some challenging, you know, first family experiences, maybe such as alcoholism in the family, mental illness, is that we really hone our radar to pick up on what's going on in the room and in the environment. And most of us become very tenacious as far as how to navigate through a variety of circumstances and still make our own way. I think I had that from a very, very early age. And I also really, I think I just had the strength to know that I was on my own, which in some, you know, areas can say, oh, well, that's a shame. Well, it gave me the courage and the strength to be who I am. I had to learn how to connect later in life. And that's also given me an opportunity. As I said, I think before the break, I found substitutes. And I always say to young people, if you don't get your cup filled up, right, when you grew up, you can still fill it. You can fill it by, you know, getting, gosh, I have such wonderful relationships with both men and women. It took some, you know, learning and some effort. But that as well, I mean, in the workplace has given me, I believe, a high degree of compassion, understanding, and connection to others that I don't think I would have had if I had not had the challenges when I was a young girl.
And how about your ability to trust? Trusting people, I think, is often more difficult for children who grew up with circumstances like that.
Yes, I have heard that before. I would say, though, that in my opinion, it really starts with trusting yourself. And because I was on my own, I really had this compass from very early on. And I would say rather than trust, you know, I still deal with issues sometimes, I guess they might call it post-traumatic stress disorder, where once in a while I'll still get a little twinge of, something bad could be about to happen, right?
Yes,
like
yes.
Waiting maybe for another shoe to drop or something like that. But I would suggest that I never had trust issues. And I believe that's probably from a really strong bond that I had from the time I was born with my father.
Yeah.
So I did get enough, right? They always say
yes.
Good enough parenting is good enough
yes.
to launch us into the world, really.
Right. And not only that, I think it's always a benefit to have a father telling a daughter that he believes in her,
yes,
and that she can
right.
do right, follow
mm-hmm.
her dreams. I want to share a quote. You said, "I always had a direct communication style, but as I evolved over the years, the softer and more authentic I've become, and the more effective I am."
Yes.
Tell me what that means to you.
Yeah. So I think because of the industry, because of my background, I just explained, you know, with my father and I had two brothers and then I'm in a male dominated industry. I do think early on I fit in very well because I was just very, very direct and matter of fact and businesslike. And I really believe that that's the way it was supposed to be. I did achieve things. But as I got further along in my career, I realized that listening more than talking, sensing, feeling, compassion, understanding, really became at the forefront of how I continued in my career. And I really believe how I became, you know, even had the opportunity to become a president and CEO and then be effective in the job. Really a revelation. I would say I'm 60. I would say probably when I was 50, I started on that journey.
I wanted to ask you because I think, you know, it's that recognition of the power of EQ.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know when that was first embraced and talked about, but I don't know it's something that we knew when we were young. But
yeah.
It's interesting that you were playing the role of a leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
And behaving the way you felt you should,
mm-hmm.
and yet you were still effective.
Yes.
But talk about how you believe now even more so in tapping into more of who you are, that authentic
right.
self, as you say.
Yes. And so really, I think it's the secret sauce because in business, I think many of us, men and women, can get ahead and really have high positions. Now, the next step is, can we be incredible at leading, right? Can we be super leaders? And both men and women I've met who have achieved that status have tapped into their souls.
I love that. Yeah. And let me ask you a question. I know one of your favorite books is Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself.
Oh, yeah.
By Dr. Joe Dispenza. Was there an aha moment for you from reading that book?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I left a 31-year marriage, and a friend gave me that book, and I sat down and read it and started to practice the meditations and really started as a hobby. That was my first book, getting into studying brain science and, thought patterns, neural networks. And I am now, over 4 years meditating daily. And I can tell you that I've absolutely changed my brain. And what's so interesting is, even though that sounds so much like a science book, it actually led me to a place where realizing what I don't know has opened up an incredible journey of learning and leadership, right?
Right.
Because
Yes. When
we think we know, we're done. When we think we know, we don't take the next person's opinion in the room because we think we already know. So
Absolutely.
Now I spend most of my days saying I don't know, which people laugh at because I'm the CEO of a company. I just go, I don't know.
No, I think that's honest. I say
I don't know.
The time, people are so certain of things. And I
Yes.
always say, I'm not certain of anything. There's so much I don't know.
I think being certain is a pretty scary place to be, especially in today's world, right? I mean,
Yeah.
we're all trying to navigate. So, yes.
Yeah, and figure it out. We're going to go into our next break, and we'll pick up when we come back with Gene Vidoni, again, the president and CEO of Penn Community Bank. Stay with us for our watch team.
Now, the Women to Watch, Military Watch.
Hi, I'm Carol Eggert, Senior Vice President of Military.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Affairs at Comcast, NBC Universal. Did you know that on Tuesday, October 26th, we celebrate the National Day of the Deployed? This was started in 2006 in North Dakota, but that day is now observed by all 50 states, and it is to remind the American people of the men and women of our armed forces who are deployed around the globe. It's another example of the changing relationship between the American people and their military. Though we have more work to do to close the military-civilian culture gap, we can't ignore the tremendous progress made over the last 20 years in building better understanding and connections between the military community and civilians. So if you're looking to support service members and military families missing their loved ones, check with the many veteran service organizations in your local area. And if you live near a military base, reach out to the base's Family Resource Center. Whether they're providing humanitarian aid, building relationships with allied militaries, or in harm's way in a combat zone, our nation's service members are representing our values and our ideals all around the world, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To the families of these brave men and women, we see you and recognize your sacrifice and resilience as your loved one in uniform serves on behalf of the American people. And to my deployed or soon-to-be-deployed brothers and sisters in arms, be proud, be professional, complete the mission, and return safely to your families and friends.
Hi, Sue Rocco here, host of Women to Watch. Are you a fan of the show? If so, be sure to sign up for our podcast at womentowatch.net so you never miss a show and can listen on your own time. That's women, the number two, watch.net. N-E-T.
You're listening to Women to Watch with Sue Rocco on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined by Jean Vidoni. And Jean, we should talk about your role as the president and CEO of a bank. First of all, you've been banking for over 35 years. That's
yes.
A long time. First of all, what do you love about it?
What I love about it, it's absolutely a people business. And many think it's a numbers business and that you need to be an accountant. It's actually a people business. And we do nothing, actually, except assist and serve customers in their whole financial journey for their life, whether they're a business owner or a resident. And that's a very personal thing, as you might imagine. Dealing with our money is psychological, emotional, tied to our careers. So a very important part of life, right, is our our economic development.
It's everything, right? Because money, whether good or bad, makes the world go around, right? Mm-hmm. In order to sustain our lives. The mission of Penn Community Bank is to be a catalyst for growth in the community. Is there anything that's happening? There's a lot of fear right now because of the pandemic and its after effects. Is there anything you can share with us that's exciting that's taking place in the community, whether it's Montgomery County, Bucks County, in the area that you serve, that
sure.
would give our listeners some hope,
yes.
things that are developing?
Yes, I would say that, you know, community banking, we tend to be connected right, you know, on Main Street, we call it, of these towns in our counties. And I'll use as an example, I'm on the Bucks County Economic Recovery Task Force from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So I do get a front row seat and get to sit at the table with all of the observations that are being made across the country about what changes have occurred because of COVID. Some of the companies have across the country have always planned for a disaster of a pandemic. Some the regulated businesses, we had to have a plan and we did. But what we didn't include in the plan was the change of behavior of the population having experienced what we've experienced since 2020.
Okay.
As you might know, people are resigning from their jobs. They're retiring early if they can economically.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are affected economically because of a job change because of COVID. There have been an incredible, it's like a barbell effect. There's opportunities for growth and change as we morph into a new type of economy. And then there are people who are greatly suffering.
Right.
The food pantries in Bucks County are up over 40% in need from a pre-pandemic level. We tend to call it at our bank, it's like the have and the have-nots. And it's easy if you're on the have, you don't even recognize there are the have-nots, right? And at the same time, looking at the global picture, there have been both some very positive things, change, rapid
mm-hmm.
change in the use
mm-hmm.
of technology and pushing us forward. And then there have been terrible tragedies, all happening at the same time and very quickly.
That's so interesting to me that you actually had a plan in place should there be a pandemic, a global pandemic.
Yes, any other banker will remember the bird flu and we have to have written disaster recovery plans. I think medical, same thing. But unintended consequences, just like Hurricane Sandy was a disaster, and we thought we had it all figured out. And then when it happened, many of us did go down because cell towers went down, for example, or we didn't, correct. You know, you just didn't anticipate everything. And that's kind of what we're dealing with right now.
Can you talk a little bit about just in general how internet banking and online bill pay and, you know, mobile banking has changed the industry and where you see that going?
Yeah, I can tell you how it's changed it and how it hasn't, right? So when I got out of college, we were just introducing the ATM, automatic teller machine, and everyone said tellers would disappear in the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years, and that was 1983. And that has not occurred. Now, the pace of change has become faster, absolutely. And so during the pandemic, for the first time, and many bankers were saying, oh, thank God, finally, there were many, I would say, more senior people who were avoiding technology, who got thrown into it because of the pandemic when they couldn't visit a branch. And their children and their grandchildren taught them how to deposit a check with their phone, how to use internet banking. And Now the use of technology has exploded in the 60 plus age range. It's incredible. And they're enjoying it. So, right?
But it's good for them, I think, mentally, right?
Absolutely, right. But at the end of the day, the people part of dealing with your finances, it is not easy. It's confusing. Mm. I mean, mm-hmm. You're not going to go online and push one button. If you go on to get a mortgage, for example, they say, oh, you can get a mortgage in 5 minutes. You go on the site and it gives you like 35 product options. So how do you know?
Too much choice.
Right. Yep. Too much choice. Too much information. Yep. And it's really difficult to navigate. And it's stressful because it's your money. What if I make a mistake? So it's really more than ever, we're finding the resurgence of community banking. I mean, during the pandemic, many of the smaller businesses couldn't get a hold of their larger institution. And they could get a hold of senior executives at community banks. And we ended up across the country. I'm very privileged to sit on the National Federal Reserve Community Banking Council. And so I was exposed to, you know, all of the CEOs across the country who participate. There's 17 of us. It's the same. Community banking has really almost like a resurgence of appreciation for what role we do play. Of course, big banks play a role, but community banking is here for the long haul, and it's because of the people part. It's not, you know, and we are up to date on the technology, which is a gift. You know, we can compete with the commercial banks, but we have that we're under the umbrella of care, as I call it, the personal care.
I think we're seeing that across the board, that because dealing with any larger institution seems to be so much more complicated in getting an answer, that people are going to smaller, even if it's, you know, retail shops rather than the big, you know, the big box stores. So there's a lot of shift happening there. It's really interesting.
Yes. And I also believe that younger, you know, workers and employees, they want a value-driven place to work. Mm-hmm. People who have been through the pandemic have a renewed appreciation for what they do have and for each other. The work-life balance has been tilted. We got sent home to work. Some people don't want to leave now to their houses to come back. So this is quite interesting what's happening to us as far as balancing the mind and heart, right, as we go to our next chapter. It's quite incredible. Yeah.
We're going to go into our last break, and stay with us for our watch team coming up, and I'll be back with Gene Vidoni, the president and CEO of Penn Community Bank.
Women to watch. Sports Watch.
Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Jen Welker, and you are listening to Sports Watch. It is a lot of pressure because, you know, as I say, it's starting to be trendy now to hear women say, oh, the first and not the last, right? But I've been living in the space of first for well over 7 years now, right? Being the first woman to play in men's pro football, all that stuff. And what's challenging about that is the reason why it's so important to say first and not last is because you as the first do not want to be the reason why you are also simultaneously the last. We had a girl once, but ... And this is why that door is firmly closed for all of those who might try and, you know, enter this place and this space thereafter. And that is a very scary and very tough position to be in, right? And so that's why it is so important to be first and to be good so that there is a second, third, and fourth. And so I always say that there is pressure, but having played for a very long time on the Dallas Diamonds, which was my football team, I would look at it and to say, like, if they knew what we would become, they never would have put us under so much pressure, because a diamond is a direct result of pressure. Follow me and all my adventures, or you could say misadventures, on Welter47 on Instagram or at JWelter47 on Twitter.
Now, more of Women to Watch with Sue Rocco on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Thanks for joining us this evening. I'm really enjoying my conversation with Jean Vidoni, the president and CEO of Penn Community Bank. Jean, there's many things that you're involved in outside of your role as mom and CEO and president. And I know two causes that are near and dear to your heart are Habitat for Humanity and the United Way. And I wonder if you can just talk about why those two causes are important to you.
Sure. I'll start first with Habitat for Humanity. I've actually had the privilege of being able to hand over the keys to a home, you know, to the family who obtains a new home. I've done that on several occasions. Penn Community Bank has been involved with Habitat of Humanity of Bucks County for many years. We actually participate on home builds. I always brag about our company that when there is a home build, we put out on our intranet for volunteers and they sell out. There's a waiting list.
Wow,
and then
so nice.
And then of course COVID has stopped that. But really, any volunteer or nonprofit work that I've done has a similar theme, whether it's United Way, Habitat for Humanity, and there's an anti-poverty organization called Bucks County Opportunity Council that I chaired the board of. And it has to do with when I see a person, a family transform themselves, literally recreating an opportunity when there might have not been one. Mm-hmm. And the fortitude that I see and how hard these folks work, harder than I ever had to work. There's something in me. I mean, my father did grow up on coal mining property in Wheeling, West Virginia, and, you know, didn't have a bathroom until he was 15. And I think that some of that is in my DNA. And it's just, you know, in my heart. And anything I can do to contribute and be involved with helping folks thrive, not survive, thrive. And I mean it. I see it every day. I see it. It's like miracles. It's like seeing a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so nice. I mean, what a great, a really special part of the work that you do, to watch someone go from one place to another. You know, tell me a little bit about, in those opportunities, how much of that is having the funds or, you know, the money to do something, perhaps to have a house for the first time. But then that belief system, that ability to believe that they can sustain it.
Yeah. So I have a theory. I've seen it so often that I think it's my truth. Let's just call it that. And that is most folks who give money to causes provide the economic sustenance, right, of that part of the program. And sometimes we'll even hear people say, it's not a hand up, it's a hand out. It's a hand up, it's not a hand out. And I always say, it's a hand over, it's a hand across. It's it is a connection. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. So yes, we need funds, we need resources, but beyond that, to sustain we need connections to each other. And it's an amazing, and it happens all over the world, right? It happens in the workplace. You know, when we have retirement parties for folks, they don't stand up on the stage and show us their, you know, W-2s for the last, you know, 50 years. They talk about who helped them, right? They talk about who set them straight, or who sat them down, or who encouraged them when they were disappointed. So much of our life has nothing to do with money. And I, when we get into our, you know, financial work as being a sponsor of your program, I think you're going to see that it's one piece of the puzzle, and it's an important piece of the puzzle, but it is not the puzzle.
I couldn't agree with you more. I actually have another quote here that you said, 80% of what I do day to day has nothing to do with a calculator or the bank. It has everything to do with being in touch with people. When I read that, I thought, gosh, that's so true. And I sometimes scratch my head when I think about, why did it take so long for companies to recognize the fact that if they pay more attention to the well-being of their employees and the people that are working for them, they will have more success, right?
Absolutely. I always say to my team, you know, they lift me up and they push me forward. And that is what I consider to be a healthy culture. So I don't feel like I, you know, I'm trying to drag an elephant up a hill. And how that occurs is by daily work on the fabric of that culture, right? It's writing my personal notes to people. It's visiting. It's talking to customers. It is participating in the community, in these nonprofits. It's truly showing up and being me and interacting. And if we all did it all the time, consistently, and you know, cultures are different. I always say, you know, there's no one great thing. So for example, Penn Community Bank, we do have a mission. I happen to fit in very well with that mission. I didn't create it, right? I found the right place to be. A lot of it is fit. So first of all, you know, getting educated and finding out what you're good at and what you're interested in waking up and doing. And then secondly, finding the right fit where you do it is really so key and integral to having a healthy culture. But once you feel it, you know you have it, and then you have to work at keeping it, right?
Right. Well, I just would imagine that you are an incredible leader. You're so so grounded and calm. I'll say there's something about your energy, I think, that's very probably calming and soothing. Tell me, we only have a minute left. Two quick questions. Are you seeing more women starting businesses and you know, coming for funds for that? And what is your daily mantra for the stressful times?
Yes. So absolutely, women are getting the courage, and there's more opportunities to navigate starting a business, more support from both large and small banks and different community organizations. I think overall, entrepreneurism is up because of the pandemic. And as far as, you know, the mantra for this particularly stressful time is show up every day, right? Do your meditation, do whatever you need to do to calm yourself and show up to navigate and connect with people, and we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, very good. Great way to end the show. We're going to have you come back and talk about all these topics at more length. Thank you so much, Jean, for taking
some time.
And I'm very excited to have you joining us.
Me too. Thank you.
That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Stay tuned next week for my conversation with Dana Bookman. Dana is the founder and CEO of Canadian Girls Baseball. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Women to Watch with Sue Rocco, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Krause at 267-261-3428.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save